Basic Bananas.
Hey guys, Eric here with Basic Bananas Radio. And today I've got a special guest on the call. We've got Troy Aswingyong here. And Troy is a branding specialist. And he specifically is going to be talking about individuals that are in a corporate setting right now, or maybe half in, kind of half out of corporate setting, and are looking to increase their awareness in the personal brand. So it's going to be an exciting conversation. So Troy, welcome to the call.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today, Eric. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to adding as much value as I can to your audience.
Awesome. So Troy, just to start off with, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what you're doing now.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I started off in the contracting industry, as we kind of spoke about earlier. I was doing that for 8 or so years. I've always been in the design realm for about 14 years or so. But in 2013, I had an interesting falling out in one of my larger contracts, flipping an apartment building in Winnipeg. And that kind of went sour and made me kind of really reevaluate my life. So fast forward a couple of years after that, we ended up starting a group in Winnipeg called the Young Entrepreneur Society. And from there, I really cultivated my skills in branding, and I started diving into lots of marketing training and diving deeper and deeper into that. And I really realized that there is a hole in the design industry that designers are generally not marketers, and marketers generally aren't designers. So I kind of put those two skills together, and I started forming a branding agency, essentially. I moved up to Vancouver here about 6 months ago, and ever since then, the rest is kind of history. I could ramble on about that for a while, but just to keep that a little bit shorter for you.
So would it be fair to say then, Troy, that you've had to rebrand yourself as well in the past year?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, going from a dirty construction worker at the time to developing corporate brands and personal brands, it was a huge shift in my identity even too, because it's like I wasn't used to dealing with that type of people. It's like two totally different service industries. So I mean, yeah, absolutely.
And for the listeners out there that don't know, Troy has some notoriety in this area of the world, in Western Canada at least, and actually globally as well, because he is continuing to build his personal brand, and he's constantly putting himself out there in various forms of social media, constantly delivering value to the community. And he's doing it in a way that comes across as really genuine, and he's building himself quite an audience. So a question I have for you, Troy, since you're walking the walk here, is how do you do that? How do you go from working in a corporate setting to starting to build your own brand? Or how did it happen for you, and how would it happen for someone else?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was a slower transition because I was kind of figuring out the waters, and it was kind of like from construction company to branding agency. So it's a pretty drastic transition. The biggest thing I find with lots of people is they're just confused on exactly where to start. The biggest thing too is people buy from you as the individual. They prefer less to do business with a large company. They're buying from the forefront of the company. So I think the biggest thing is developing more of your character, finding out what you stand for and what you stand against, and being really true to that throughout your messaging, whether that be on social media. The basic thing too is, like, I think if you start behind the eight ball, it's hard to get in front of it. So I believe personally presentation is huge if you're making that transition into say more of the personal world than from the corporate world.
With presentation, yeah, could you expand on that a little bit as well?
Absolutely.
What do you mean by presentation? So in what arenas are you presenting yourself?
Yep, absolutely. I believe on even Facebook as well, I think it's important, whether you're on Facebook or LinkedIn or anything like that, to have nice photos and clean headshots. It sounds so simple, but it's like people are judging you before they even talk to you. So I mean, you want to keep it authentic, but before they even send you a message or inquire anything about what you're doing, they're making some sort of perception in their mind of what you're about. If that...
Yeah, Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
We talk about that pretty hugely about perception and how
Huge. Perception management is one of the biggest things. It's creating your reality essentially with how people perceive you to be.
Just expanding on that a little bit as well, you run a branding agency.
Yeah.
And a large part of your branding is image. You have experience in graphic design.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to build a personal brand,
yeah,
what do you recommend around imagery? What should the imagery look like? Whether it's on your website, even what you wear, like,
yeah,
what is in detail, kind of what does the imagery look like for someone
absolutely
to expand their personal brand?
It's kind of, it depends on the industry entirely, but I mean, if you're a speaker, if you're a coach or anything like that, it really depends who you're coaching or what your market is. But I mean, I like to dress well, like classier with like suits and whatnot, but I mean, we also started doing that with our Young Entrepreneur Society. So that's a really good question. One thing with websites as well is you want to have images that are going to create emotional connections with people. Like one thing I actually use a lot for corporate individuals is like vast city backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There's something about a vast city that builds this empire feel into your subconscious when somebody sees it. Like it just instantly triggers like higher class feeling to it. Also too, like just on your websites, like you want to have images that are going to pull people out of their everyday mundane reality, because like lots of people are walking through life kind of glazed over like zombies, and then they come past your content and it's a completely like mind shifting picture. It's like, what is that? Like it brings them in the front door, because you're competing for attention online. That's all you're doing. You're competing for the next person's eyes to hopefully have their eyeballs on your content. So I think that's one quick little tip.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we see that sometimes where clients will often just use stock photos, stock business mm-hmm. photos, and or they get stuck in the rut if they're, let's say they are a mortgage broker or a financial
yeah.
planner or a real estate agent, something like that.
Yeah.
Often they get the images directly from the company,
yeah.
Which again are generally just stock photo images.
Yeah.
I like your point on just having the big city in the background.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any other examples that you could give around what kind of images?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are not stock photo, but something that would
absolutely.
Stand out.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to think of an example here. Like for, recently I'm doing an ebook cover for somebody that is in the financial industry, and the ebook's all about RRSPs and whatnot. So the lettering in the background is in red for RRSPs, and it's kind of faded out in the background. So it's there, but it's not right in your face. But red is generally an urgent color, so it creates an urgency within people. But then there's also, say, an image in the background of somebody signing a paper or whatever at a bank. So it's like it creates that feeling of the person kind of being there a little bit. That's one example. What's another really good example for that? There's so many ways you can brand yourself by like branding by association. Like, for example, even being on a podcast, because I'm being interviewed or whatever, it gives me some sort of status in other people's eyes when I'm saying to post this podcast on my page or whatever after. And also like even say speaking at other events, pictures of you, it depends really if this is geared towards more speakers and coaches. If you have pictures of you speaking in front of large audiences, people instantly build trust with you. So it's like, wow, like he can do that. And it's like you said earlier, it goes back to perception. But what's some other good images that kind of go with that? Recently I did a branding package for somebody that runs Freedom Masters. And the whole background of it was, her crowd's more of a real spiritual crowd. So the background was a bunch of aurora borealis, some mountains, because the mountains will like show kind of more of a courage feeling behind it. It really, I guess, depends on who the audience is at the time, and finding out, like diving into who they are as the customer avatar, and then from there figuring out what imagery will communicate to them the best. I don't know if that...
Yeah, no, I like that. I like what you're saying there, because what you're saying is that you can't just pick any stock image. You do have to have a strong consideration of who your client is.
Absolutely, 100%.
And tailor that imagery to them.
Yeah.
One thing, just for our listeners, one thing that that we found to be effective is picking images that show what the end result might be for the consumer.
Yeah.
So sometimes rather than just taking a picture of your office and putting it on your website, maybe having a picture of whatever that moment is. So let's say that you are, for instance, a mortgage broker, maybe having a picture of someone walking into their brand new house with the keys or something like that, rather than just
it's that emotional experience,
exactly.
Right? That's that feeling that they, if they, for example, have bought a home before, they know they can kind of embody themselves into that feeling of the picture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Troy. Mm-hmm. So you also mentioned before, you were talking about there's a lot of individuals you work with, and they come to you because they don't know what they're doing, and typically one of the first questions is like, well, where do I even start? What's the first move to work on my imaging? So could you give us an idea of like, okay, I've decided that I need to branch out from my company at some point. I've got to have my own email list, have my own branch of contacts, not just rely on the companies.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yep, absolutely. Biggest thing that, like you said earlier, most people that come to me are confused. They know that they need a personal brand, but they have no idea where to start. So usually what I start off with is a mind map. We just do an overview of every single thing that they do. So from there, we decide what their first product is and how we can tie a lead-in of their personal brand into their existing product. So for example, financial guy we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. we're creating an ebook from him that still leads people into his current company that he works for, but it's still advertised as him. So now he can still build a personal asset on that end. And from that end, say a couple of years down the road, his plan isn't to leave the company, but it's a sense of security for him because he knows that down the road that you never know what's going to happen. And he has a list of, I want to say, 5,000 to 7,000 contacts in the company. If he leaves the company, he's done. He has to restart from scratch. So, I mean, I think building some sort of lead magnet or some sort of free giveaway that you can give that still educates your current client base that slowly transitions them into more you. I mean, there may be some sort of conflicts of interest in certain industries that you really have to be careful with, but they're completely fine in his industry as long as it meets compliance and everything else that they're doing. So I think building a mind map, understanding where your products cross promote, if you're still with that company, understanding your products, your upsells, your downsells, and then kind of developing your image from there. Because then you at least have a groundworks and a foundation to base everything off of. Because if you build a foundation on sand, everything cracks and falls apart. Yeah. So I think getting your foundation, like everything, getting the understanding, everything out of your head onto paper and just understanding where it all connects and where it all comes together.
I like that concept a lot. I like the concept of putting out a mind map and actually just, okay, let's get it on paper.
Yeah.
And looking at what that looks like. So within that,
yeah.
Are there categories on that piece of paper that you typically start with for a mind map to say, okay, these are the circles that we're going to be asking questions around?
Absolutely. Generally, we start off with what they're currently selling or like what their product is. Because I mean, at the end of the day, everything's focused around you getting clients or like you acquiring potential clients down the road or whatever. So we start off with what the products are usually. Then we start off with the vision for the website, like look and feel, the navigation. And then from that, we also dive into like other areas of influence that they can get into, like whether that be podcasting or whether that be blog posting or like what kind of content they're going to produce and what area of expertise that they already have knowledge in. Actually, earlier, me and Matthew were talking about that in a different live stream about how you as a business owner, you don't realize how valuable the information is that you have inside you because you've been ingrained in it for so many years that you think it's just common knowledge, but other people outside of your possibly practice or whatever service industry you're in can learn a lot from the education and the understanding that you have. So you can actually produce a lot of content on just basic knowledge that you've attained over the years. So I think, content, doing a content strategy, doing your your product breakdown, your website basics. The website kind of changes as everything evolves and kind of moves. The biggest thing is, I think, taking action on one thing, because everything changes. When you start taking action, you get more clarity towards the one direction of what you want to do. Like, all of a sudden, this idea is going to come up, and then this ties in with this. So, yeah, I think that covers basics.
Yeah, I think it does as well. I also like, I'm going to touch on something you said before.
Yeah.
Just the example of one of your clients and him having an ebook.
Yeah.
For individuals to obtain, and you've mentioned that as an opt-in, which obviously means that people are giving their emails in order to receive that ebook.
Yeah, it's a reciprocation bias. Whereas if I offer you a book, you're going to be you're going to want to give me something back in return for it.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to want to, but it's like you're not going to have a problem if you're getting something back for it. Whereas if I'm like, hey, give me your email, it's like, what? No. So.
And we a lot of our listeners will know that we're huge advocates of opt-ins and email lists, because there's so much power in having an email list.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of security in it. It is your insurance blanket. So
yep.
When you're looking to build yourself a personal brand, you better look at building yourself an email list, because if your personal brand is an insurance, and that email list is just it's your backup insurance.
Absolutely.
So I love the idea of an ebook, because it sounds like that individual can get away with creating an ebook, which is still a positive for the company as well, because it provides him as a, or it provides a perception of him being an expert within that company.
Absolutely.
People are coming to them to do business. Are there any other opt-ins you've seen, or any other examples that you might recommend for individuals that are looking to personal brand other than an ebook? I think ebook's great, but just seeing if there's anything else that
you
recommend out there.
One thing we even do, I just started doing recently, you can get people to book a strategy call with you. You give away a 15-minute strategy call. Time is valuable. So, I mean, get them to opt in for the strategy call. Strategy call, they put their email into whatever calendar app or whatever that you're using. You can also tie, I don't know if you ever heard of Zapier.
Yeah.
You can tie Zapier in with any calendar app and hook it up to any sort of autoresponder. So it'll zap the email from that to start building your list there. Obviously, you have to have permission to put them on your list. But I think that's a great strategy, because it's really interesting. We started off a funnel recently where we had an application that you had to fill out, and then you get to book a call. But individuals are more inclined to book a call than they are to fill out an application. So we get them to book the call, and then we send them 3 reminder emails that get them to fill out the application before the call. If there's no application, there's no call. It helps you pre-frame the whole conversation and just saves both of you a lot of time. So you understand what they're doing already. But 2 clicks of a button, you got a call booked. 20 minutes filling out an application, they're like, whatever. But if it's a prerequisite for the call, I think they're a lot more inclined for that.
That's really interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. I love that, because, most opt-ins, obviously, are going to be some kind of form where you got to fill everything out. I love the idea of getting a lot more information out of that individual by just starting with that first small step, saying, okay, you want the call. Just now to save us time on the call, can you please help me by filling out this application? And that'll help both of us
it positions you more as an expert, because it shows you take your time seriously.
Mm-hmm.
If you get on the call and they didn't fill out the application, it's like, okay, perfect. Did you get the email with the application? I'm like, yep, it's okay, cool. Fill it out and we'll get back on the call in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it instantly positions you. You can understand them, because sometimes in the application, they'll go deeper into their problem in the application than they will on the phone. And then from that, the basic human aversion is to stay surface level. So from that application, you can start digging deeper into what the actual real problem is, because a lot of people don't want to expose what their actual pain point is, because it's a protection mechanism we have ingrained inside of us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's super valuable, because, like you said, you're able to dig deeper into the problem.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that gives you just a much better understanding of who your audience is, the more of those calls you
Absolutely.
Get.
And the thing too, like recently, this has been a big paradigm shift for me. If you're offering a good service and a good product, and you know that somebody will benefit from receiving it, it's your duty to sell them on it. If you know it's actually going to better their life and it's a great product, it's unethical for you to not sell them.
It's a fascinating
paradigm shift, but it's the truth.
That's a huge thing as well. Just the mindset around selling something. A lot of small business owners, they find it difficult to take money from people.
Yeah.
But if you're truly delivering value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you shouldn't have that issue. Even when it comes to, I know this podcast is more about branding, but when it comes to increasing prices because you're delivering that value, there's a lot of business owners out there that have this limiting mindset around increasing prices because they say, well, I want to be fair. Well, if you're delivering the value, then you're doing yourself a disservice as well, because if you're working with customers and you're burnt out because you've got too many customers going on, you're not doing the world a favor by having that.
So. Yeah, and we'll figure out ways too that you can still deliver value. Like, I'm a lot in the information realm, so I can also duplicate value and add offer intensifiers. But if you're in a service business, there's always something that you can do that is little to no cost of you that adds a lot of value to them. And cost being time and effort and energy, you can always figure out some sort of, like, even just as thank you cards. At the end of the job, sending them a thank you card. Most people don't do that. Or even a guy last week, he was trying to get cleaning contracts for a restaurant company. And I told him, I was like, send them a free report on how to increase their restaurant business. Doesn't matter if you're just a cleaning company. Nobody in your industry is doing that. And when they see that, they're like, who is this guy? This is amazing. Like, he's the instant influencer. Like, he's just the trusted expert. It's like, nobody's doing this. We should talk to this guy. It, like, separates you from the rest of the crowd. That's the biggest thing with branding too, is not being the status quo, being the guy, being the trusted advisor for those people.
I love your twist there with the cleaning company, because essentially what you're doing is you're taking a strategy, you're borrowing from another industry.
Yeah.
And you're applying it to that industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, no one else is doing it.
Yeah, and even honestly, it's as simple as giving them a couple referral strategies. If you can read a couple business books or whatever, you can pull out some things that will benefit that person. And they're like, "What? Like, wow. Like, what business owner doesn't want more business?"
Exactly.
Like, I think there's none out there that don't. Well, maybe ones that are established that aren't taking more clients, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Troy, do you have any input on, like, common myths or misconceptions in the industry? I mean, you've got some great ideas of how to stand out.
Yeah.
What are a lot of people hearing out there?
Yeah.
As far as branding goes, and attempting to implement, but it's just not working because it's more of a myth than it is actually something that you can.
Absolutely. Apply. Well, I think this comes back to adding value, and value is just communication at the end of the day. But we run a Facebook group. It has about 8,500 entrepreneurs in it. And we have people all the time posting their link to their computer repair company or this so-and-so company. And it's like on the other side of the world. And we message them and we're like, what are you doing? I think there's 730 posts in the queue waiting to be approved that aren't going to get in. But it's like, we ask them, like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, I'm marketing. It's like, you're marketing by posting your link in 20 groups? It's like, that's not marketing. That's spam.
Yeah.
Like, come into the group and educate people on computer repair, and then they're going to be like, hey, like, do you do this full time? So, like, being a human and not just, like, push, like, buy it, buy my stuff. And it's, like, actually having a human element and developing some sort of relationship with the customer. Like, I think it's 5 to 7 touch points sometimes before certain deals close. Like, it depends what company it is, but, like, just being in the field of education, like educating them on why you're better than the other people and what other people do wrong or like what you do right, and just showing them that, like I said earlier, a paradigm shift of the new reality that is possible. So, like, just, I think the biggest thing is just how people are taught how to market. And it's like spamming. It's the difference between, like, even with our email list, we write an email every single day. Some people don't like it, but some people do. But we add education in every single email. It's like there's always something that you can take away from it. We obviously pitch at the end of it every time, but it's like a value-riddled pitch. It's not just like, hey, here's our link, thanks, have a good day.
Yeah.
Like, it's adding that human element to it.
I'm glad you touched on that point, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they copy what they see out there, and mm-hmm. a lot of what they see is corporate marketing,
mm-hmm.
which is just get the ad out there.
Yeah.
Just get eyeballs on the ad.
That's just brand sure awareness, too.
Exactly, yeah. It's just having that presence. But that's not necessarily what works if you're looking to build a personal
yeah.
brand.
And, yeah.
And you are an individual,
yeah.
then those tactics don't necessarily
yeah.
apply. So
a big thing too, even for, it depends what industry you're into. Like, this is all really industry specific stuff, but it can be applied to lots of different industries. But even at the beginning too, when I first started, people are always like, what do you do? But I think that's a big thing that people can fall into, is like getting into this like real information overload and having really clear, defined offers. Like, if you're posting a lot of value, you still have to make an offer every once in a while. Like, some people are afraid to sell, but like, you have to let people know what you sell, so in order they can buy.
Yeah.
If you don't make offers, nobody can buy. So I think that's also another misconception. Like, you can add too much value. Well, not, you can add too much value, but you can keep adding so much value. But if you don't shoot out a couple offers here and there throughout your value, then you're just going to get burnt out. And it's like, why is nobody buying from me? It's like, because nobody knows what you sell. So like, you have to be specific too as well, but like without being a complete blatant, here's my stuff, buy it pitch.
So within that spectrum,
yeah.
Can you give us an example of a pitch that doesn't come off as a completely cheesy, typical ad pitch? So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, as long as the person's taking something from it, like, if you're giving them a strategy or something that they, for example, the restaurant guy, if he's giving this restaurant owner a bunch of ways to improve his restaurant business, why shouldn't he be able to ask for business after that? Right? Like, they've just implemented his strategies, and then it's like, hey, want to work together? But it's like giving them something that they can take away, that they can apply in their, whether it be their personal lives or their relationship or their, even like whether it be home improvement or something like that. Like, quick little DIY tip. Some people will be like, oh, I don't want to give that away because then they're going to do it themselves and not hire me. It's like, they're going to hire you for a bigger, better project because they're like, you know, there's that company that one time. They taught me how to do this. Maybe, yeah, I should reach out to them now. So it's, I think just adding so much value and pitching at the end, that's also a way, or just having a bunch of value posts and then every so often doing a pitch. I think third-party testimonials are actually one of the most powerful ways of promoting your product. Asking for testimonials from your customers, because when somebody else yells louder than you, it's easier for somebody else to yell louder about you than it is for you to yell at the top of the mountain. Their reach goes so much farther because it shows that they bought from you. It shows that your product's superior. It shows that they liked you. And if they didn't like you or any of those other things, they wouldn't be talking about you. So if you're talking about you all the time too, it's kind of like, oh, here's the pitch again. I think third-party testimonials can be actually one of the most powerful, underused things in lots of businesses.
So yeah, it's a really good point, because obviously testimonials, as you said, they're coming from someone that...
Yep.
That yeah, they've got their own opinion.
Yes,
yeah. It's not like you paid them to say that.
Yes,
yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can. I think it's smart to make it a requirement of your contract to have a testimonial required at the end.
Yeah,
like for them to fulfill their side of the contract, that they have to give you a testimonial in return. I think that's just good business.
Yeah,
it's just, if you're a good product and service, why shouldn't you ask for it?
Yeah, absolutely, you should. Otherwise, you're leaving money on the table, essentially.
Yep.
and you're letting yourself down.
Yep.
As well. And
social proof and testimonials,
yeah,
is one of the most powerful marketing tools, I think, out there.
So Troy, let's say someone out there, let's get into a more of a real world example. Let's say there's,
absolutely,
someone out there that's a financial advisor.
Yep.
And they're working with a company,
mm-hmm,
I'd pull whatever company out of, maybe Edward Jones, I'm not picking on Edward Jones,
yeah,
but let's just say they're working at Edward Jones, and their lists and everything are Edward Jones, and maybe that's a poor example because they have a lot more independence than some of the other firms that are out there, but
yeah, just any wealth management,
yeah,
company.
And they start to look at, you know what, I would like to open my own firm or even just start by doing this on my own. There's a few steps that we kind of gave them along the way, mm-hmm. where to start. What would be the benefit in hiring someone that's that focuses on personal branding?
Yep. I think the benefit would be getting clarity. Because the biggest thing is, like I said earlier, lots of people that come to me are just confused. They know they need a personal brand. They have no idea where to start. And the biggest thing is getting that clarity so you can start, so you're not just so overwhelmed that it's like, I don't know what to do, I might screw it up. And I mean, essentially, you can screw it up more by just trying a bunch of random things that don't work than actually getting even just a basic line of advice, like a basic, like, okay, this is where you should start, this is what you should do. I honestly think the biggest thing is just getting that clarity. Getting the clarity and the understanding, starting, figuring out a way to migrate the current people that are coming into you into your own personal realm, essentially. So it's your education that they're learning from and not like whatever ABC wealth management company. It's like specifically from John Doe.
Yeah, exactly. I think really what you're getting at is just to use somebody that's been there before.
Yeah.
And has some tried and true methods.
Yeah.
So
an interesting thing too is like you can use host beneficiary, where if you have, say you have a working relationship with the company that you plan to branch out from, figure out where there is a need in their industry that they're not filling, and they have your customer base anyways. So like, for example, I told you about that mat master company. There's a cleaning company and there's a mat cleaning company. The mat cleaning company has a list of about 10,000 people, but they don't do entire building maintenance. They don't clean the entire building. They only handle the mats, but they have the list of people that could potentially be all of your customers. So figuring out some sort of referral relationship where it's like, if you give me your book of business, I can give you 10 or 20% of the business that I close. Nobody's going to say no to an extra couple thousand dollars a year, if not more. If you tell them that, you have to show them the value of it, like what they're going to get in return. But I think using a host beneficiary, like somebody that has your market and getting in front of their market, but not selling a competing product, I think that's really powerful. A good way to jumpstart you into a new realm.
Yeah, it's a really good strategy. And I think one thing you touched on there as well is just making it very clear when
yep.
you come in with that proposal,
yep.
what it is that you're giving the other company.
Yep.
A lot of companies say, hey, we should do business together.
Absolutely.
And those proposals just get tossed in the trash.
Well, I told this guy I was coaching a couple weeks ago, I was like, go into the business or get on the phone with this guy and be like, what if I told you I could give you an extra 15 grand a year? That's going to get his attention. That's going to get him to, you know, perk up for a minute and listen to you. Then you give him your strategy, tell him what you're going to do. It's an extra 15, 20 grand that he didn't have anyways. So it's like, who's going to say no to that? Then I guarantee you that's his new boat for the year. Or you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
if there's something in it for him, he's going to listen. Whereas if you're like, hey, want to do business? It's like, who are you?
Yeah.
So it's like you need to catch them on a high, like you need to really interrupt their pattern to actually get in the front doors to them with that.
Yeah, I love your strategy of just opening the door with, hey, can I make you X amount of money?
Yeah. Well,
obviously, people, if you're a business owner, your ears are going to perk up.
Yeah, every business owner's in it for making some sort of money.
Yeah.
I mean, some lots want impact, but the more impact you can, the more money you make, the more impact you can have. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it all comes down to making somebody else more money.
Perfect. Perfect, Troy. So, we've got some great strategies there for how to actually implement your personal brand, where to take it, and yeah, how to start, where to take it, and actually putting proposals out there along the way.
Yeah.
Just before I wrap this interview up, what I like to ask business owners, or what we like to ask business owners on Basic Bananas Radio,
yeah.
is what is one thing for you, what's one of your craziest moments in any of the businesses you run, from contracting to
yeah.
to what you're doing now? What's a crazy or funny moment that you can tell us about?
That's fun. That's good. There's so many. Being in the contracting industry before, I dealt with a lot of like painters, drywallers, interior guys. they can be a little rougher around the edges.
Yeah.
And even in a couple buildings, we've had guys where, I mean, it might not sound funny, but like guys in the site that were on the same team getting into like, not fights, but like just yelling at each other. And it's just so, there's at the point where I was a professional babysitter. Yeah. I'd come in and just put out fires of my own team members. I mean, honestly, I had terrible culture at the time. I realized after all that happened that culture creates everything when you're running a larger organization. I think there's that. What else is a really good, funnier time? Like I told you earlier, when we started the Young Entrepreneur Society, we pinned Mercedes against Audi.
Yeah, I like
in,
that story.
In a sponsorship. This is a good strategy if you're looking for sponsors. I mean, it's a little bit of a white lie, but at the same time too, it got us Audi to sponsor us. So we came in, we told Mercedes that Audi sponsored us, and we told Audi that Mercedes sponsored us. And by the end of it, they were both fighting back and forth for the better deal. Audi gave us the better deal. They pulled up a bunch of sick cars at our event. They gave us banners. They gave away a bunch of water bottles. I still have one today. And it's like, you can use that for getting sponsors for many events. And it's like, just because it's their competitor, they're going to be like, damn it, like they're doing a promotion. We have to get on that. So I think that's pretty fascinating. That was the tipping point, I think, of the Young Entrepreneur Society. It really helped us skyrocket as who we are. And I guess you'd want to maybe call it a publicity stunt or something like that, but it worked. And
I think that's a great story. That's probably one of the greatest stories we've had today. I don't know if I can go out there and tell everyone to promote it, but I mean, listen, it worked. So
it worked, and it depends how you look at it, black or white, but it worked. It worked flawlessly. Yeah. So I mean, it didn't harm anybody. It got us a sponsor at our event. They were happy. They ended up booking a bunch of test drives that weekend. So it goes back to selling the customer, and it's like at the same time, we did get the more business. So I mean,
there's nothing to feel bad about.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's a win-win, then awesome strategy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Troy.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know a little bit more about personal branding strategy and where to take it.
Yeah.
So just if individuals want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can look me up on Facebook. You can go to exclusivebrandingagency.com. You can check out the Young Entrepreneur Society Facebook group. We're the number one young entrepreneur group on Facebook. If you type in Young Entrepreneur, we'll be the first one that pops up. You can download our book at massinfluencereport.com. That'll actually teach you a lot about positioning and higher end luxury positioning and what it takes to actually build influence in your marketplace and a tribe of raving fans. So yeah, massinfluencereport.com. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Troy. We'll take those links and we'll put them in the show notes at the bottom of the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much for having me, Eric. And thank you for your audience for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You as well, Troy. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Take care.
Bye.
Basic bananas.